Listening to Terror on Tequila.
Welcome to an exciting undead edition of WTOT Terror on Tequila. I'm Dave Fuentes, your very own Italian zombie, at least on my mother's side, from Terror from Beyond the Daves. And you can check out that blog at terrordaves.com. I'm joined once again by my co-host, Jason Lucas, who has unearthed for us a very special beverage guaranteed to wake the dead.
That's right, Italian Zombie Dave. Hello, everybody. This is Jason Lucas, bartender of the dead. And tonight, it's undead green Jello Jigglers, along with my own special creation, a little something I call zombie juice. And Dave, it'll hit you like a shot in the head. This drink may officially become available as the Halloween season draws near, but today we'd like to draw you into our own special show dedicated to zombies.
While zombies can trace their roots in cinema as far back as the 1930s, it was George Romero's iconic Night of the Living Dead in 1968 that serves as the model for those seen today. Whether they're fast-moving or slow, there's no doubt that zombies have had no trouble reaching new heights with plenty of fresh blood both on the big screen as well as small, most notably in AMC's hit series, The Walking Dead.
That's right. Tonight we'll be featuring three zombie films, each from different decades and countries, but all memorable in their own right. From France, we've got 1981's Zombie Lake. And then it's off to Italy for Lucio Fulci's 1979 classic, Zombie. And finally, a more modern offering from the good old U.S. of A., Zombieland from 2009.
To comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable, it's Terror on Tequila. We'll begin our first of perhaps many shows dedicated to the undead with a lesser-known entry from France titled Zombie Lake. This film was released in 1981, and while it may sound like a Halloween-inspired ballet, it's actually exploitation cinema at its worst best. This film was directed by Jean Rollin, who not only considers this to be the worst film he's ever made, but for years even denied he was responsible for it. Jason, what could he possibly be so embarrassed about?
Well, Dave, it's the Vagina Monologues meets the Treaty of Versailles. A small lake in a French countryside is a full-frontal magnet for bathing beauties in all their untrimmed splendor. Unfortunately, this lake is also inhabited by aquatic Nazi zombies who don't bother beating around the bush and gobble these ladies up like box lunches. Can the town's mayor, overwhelmed by the cries of the superstitious locals, put a stop to this second Nazi occupation of France before the fish begin to smell like it?
Get ready to deutsch and douche.
Doucheland uber alles.
Right here on Terror on Tequila. Okay, we just watched probably the worst zombie movie of all time, which is why we're starting with it, so we can get this shit out of the way. It is Zombie Lake.
Yes.
What are your thoughts about Zombie Lake?
Lake of the Dead. Oh, my God. This movie is possibly one of the worst movies ever made. Not just the worst horror movie. It's way worse than Plan 9 out of Outer Space.
Oh, God,
and
yeah.
All
Plan 9
stuff.
Is a wonderful movie, but this movie is shit and takes place in, what, the late 50s?
Yeah, the movie starts out, it's supposed to be about a lake in France during the 40s, during World War II. There's the Nazi invasion. These Nazis are repelled by the local partisans. They kill about seven of these Nazis. And the French throw these Nazis in this lake.
Which was like, a pagan, mystical pagan dumping ground.
Yeah, there's even a deeper story. So it's like this ancient, where they used to have human sacrifices and dump people in the water. Well, anyway, the Nazis didn't know that. They get their asses thrown in there, and they come out as zombies. Then jump to 1957. The movie came out in 81, so the movie is filmed, and it looks like it's filmed in 81 in France.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
But it's supposed to be the 50s, so you got people walking around with 70s haircuts, but it's supposed to be the 50s. Jump forward, you know, and then the story takes off from there about these Nazis that start coming out of the lake. They start by attacking this young woman who's jumping into the lake completely nude.
Yeah, this lake attracts naked people, like you would believe.
Yeah. And every little bug and every kind of nasty
right.
creature.
Doesn't matter how slimy the lake is, how many lily pads you got stuck up your crack.
It's nasty.
Just come to this lake in the broad daylight and swim nude.
Well, the funny thing about this movie is you've never seen anything like it. It's like just nude women all over the place, completely nude, swimming in this nasty water. That's the opening scene, just this nude woman.
Yeah.
Everything.
And there's plenty
exposed.
More, including an entire volleyball team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the music, the sound, everything about this movie is just so annoying. It'll grate on your nerves. You can barely stand to watch the whole thing. And when you watch the whole thing and you get to the end, you're ready to kill somebody because you're like, I can't believe I sat through the worst movie of my entire experience.
But you know, we're being terribly chauvinistic here, focusing exclusively on the nudity.
How could you not focus on it? That's all there is in this movie.
Right. To the point
the
where
very first scene.
To the point where you're desensitized by it. But there actually is an entire heartfelt backstory to this film.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and we would certainly be remiss by not sharing the more sentimental moments of this feature. And while I delve into these moments, these precious moments,
zombie moments.
Jason is going to actually play the very music that we had to listen to while watching this during the film.
And I wish I could actually play the piano part. It's not that hard. I'm going to learn
right,
it.
Well, keep your feet on the ground and reach for the stars. But anyway, after you guys listen to this, and by the way, we had to listen to this music for a great portion of the entire movie.
And over.
Right. So after you get the small sampling, you will understand exactly why it is that Jason and I have to drink during these movies. Apparently, amidst these violent winds of war, one of the Nazis takes the time to save the life of a local milkmaid.
Yes.
Who repays his heroism with a night of passion.
Yes.
And by night of passion, what I'm referring to is a 12-minute love scene.
With this music playing under it.
With this music playing and him never taking his pants off.
Somehow.
Somehow, despite this wardrobe malfunction, there's an immaculate conception. And he visits her cottage and discovers that she's given birth to his daughter.
Yes.
But soon after the birth and the joy, it is tempered by the fact that his milkmaid, for inexplicable reasons, dies.
She's the most unskilled milkmaid ever, by the way.
She's, well, I don't know about that. She managed to milk the Nazi without even taking his pants off. But I digress. So, anyway, after the Nazi leaves is when he dies at Zombie Lake, but comes back and then discovers that he has a daughter, who then recognizes him by the necklace that his milkmaid had given him before she, in fact, had died. And
yes.
Now we have a zombie father-daughter reunion.
Yes. Isn't that just a sweet story, Dave?
Yes.
Yes. And you are able to then follow the story as the zombies are brought back to life in 1957 to wreak havoc on the locals and take their revenge for the apocalypse that was brought upon them.
And let's talk about the look of these zombies.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're totally made up like a fourth grader would do.
Yeah, it's literally the same kind of makeup you get at Walmart when you go to, like, oh, be a witch for $4.99. Mm-hmm. It's that, like, Wicked Witch of the West green
yep.
on their faces,
bright
and
green.
That's it. That is the extent of their makeup.
Any little scars or anything are totally, like, coming
horrible,
off in the water.
Yeah, it's like the plaster's coming right off.
And they're like, eyes are just, like, whatever. You know, they look... They're just totally coming in and out of the water, dressed in their old Nazi fatigues, and they're attacking the locals who are useless.
Right. Literally, there's a whole scene where the posse comes after the Nazis, and I think they shot, like, what, 5,000 bullets, and not one of them got killed.
Yeah,
so
there's seven Nazis coming out of this lake, and the French are just as useless as they were in World War II.
Right.
They can't defend their
Could
own city.
Could not hit a stone wall had they been standing at the foot of a Grand
no.
Canyon. Exactly.
But, like, the Nazi comes out, and he finds his daughter
yes.
on a bed in
yes,
the room with
back
this
to
woman. Oh, my God. And oh, yes. She's like wailing. Yeah.
Please, please give us the cries of a milkmaid, Jason.
Yes. Oh, oh, I can't believe it. Oh, they look.
And she did this for like 5 minutes. that was the funniest part of the movie, listening to Jason imitate the milkmaid grandma.
And the funny thing is, all the male voices are dubbed by the same male actor.
And all the female voices are probably done by the same female actor. So you had probably just a man, one man and one woman that got stuck being assigned to dub this horrific French export.
Yeah, and so this little girl is left there with this milkmaid grandmother.
Who's crying.
I'm
going to have you do that like the rest of the night.
And so she's like, they lead her away. I can't do anything. She's useless. Like, she fell asleep, and they're like, what happened? Oh, he took her away. Oh.
Yeah, the milkmaid grandma just sits there while zombies walk off with their daughter casually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, ridiculous. She's actually more with it than the men that are running the town, too, because they're like, they can barely... Fuck am I watching? They can barely, manage. They're trying to shoot these zombies, so they finally concoct a plan to lure the zombies in with blood. The little girl's like, "Oh, bring me some fresh hot blood."
Yeah, the little girl has mystical powers apparently because she knows exactly what to do to finally get rid of the zombies.
Well, yeah, the zombie comes out of the lake, her father, and gives her the amulet that was hung around his neck during the sex scene.
Yeah, she
was conceived.
Right. Well,
so she's like, "Oh, I feel a connection to him. Oh, my God, I must have it. I will save him, but not the rest." I'm like, nice. You know, so then they lure all the zombies out. They get him into this castle, and we won't even tell you what happens, but it is a castle out in the middle of
this
crappy...
There's lots of castles, aren't there?
Yeah, and none of them look good.
Who else lives in
a castle?
The mayor
lives
in a castle.
Yeah, the same mayor that was mayor during the war.
Yeah, that was mayor during the war, and this castle, you walk inside, and it looks like the antique barn that you'd see at a flea market.
Oh, yeah.
It's horrible.
It's hideous. Everything about this movie is bad, people. There's no redeeming quality, not even the nudity, the gratuitous nudity of all these poor women. No, you've seen enough.
Yeah, I think there's actually a compilation zombie thing that you can get on Netflix streaming. I want to say it's called Zombie Nation, but don't quote me there. But anyway, go on Netflix streaming.
Is this featured?
Yes, it's one of the movies that's featured, and you get a little bit of a sampling, mostly the naked ladies. So if you really just want to get that part out of the way, go to Netflix and stream it. You can see just how horrible this movie is. But see, here's my thing. I don't really think a movie is a bad movie unless it's a boring movie. And let's be honest, Jason, this movie... got boring.
No.
Despite all this excitement that we've shared.
Everything was drawn out.
It was drawn out. Yeah. That little melodramatic exposition that I gave you earlier actually took, I want to say, like 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And it was so drawn out that by the time we made it back to 1957, we were like, oh, wait, who are these people? What?
And what was funny is they're putting wigs on both men and women in this movie for no reason.
Yeah.
Just toupees. Blonde wigs, people are getting killed, their wigs are falling off. The Nazis, like I said, the makeup on the zombies looked like somebody went to Chuck's House of Magic and got some rubber and latex and just threw it on. No, I mean, there was no attention to detail. The music was just repetitive. The scenes were just ridiculous. The old woman, oh my God.
And that's exactly how we sounded throughout this whole movie. Because it was so grueling.
Lead me away.
And I can't believe we've watched this more than once.
Yeah,
what
we've seen it a few times. We had to see it again to be convinced
we did.
That this is one of the worst movies
we sacrificed
ever made.
Ourselves for you, the listener, that you will know not to sit through this movie.
Well, we're here to warn you, whether you're drinking or not, this movie is terrible on Terror on Tequila. Italian zombies have their own special place in the genre, as well as in the hearts of both Dave and I. One of the best examples is from one of Italy's most infamous directors, Lucio Fulci. Zombie was released in 1979 and features some of horror's most memorable scenes, such as the zombie attacking a shark, as well as a detailed shot of a wood splinter going through an eyeball. The film was originally released as Zombie 2, suggesting it was a sequel to the unrelated Dawn of the Dead, but simply titled Zombie here in the States. Though banned in several countries, the film was a huge hit in Europe and succeeded in bringing Fulci's sagging career back from the dead. Illuminate things for us, Terror Dave.
Like a shard in your eyeball, Jason. When an abandoned yacht floating into New York Harbor reveals an undead stowaway, It's up to the daughter of the boat's missing owner and a reporter to get to the bottom of things. This leads them to the mysterious island of Matul, overseen by Dr. David Menard, a local physician with a sinister secret and an irritating neurotic wife. Is this an island paradise or more of a hell on earth? And even if our heroes do escape, what will they discover back in New York?
We're back. Back in the New York groove, here on Terror on Tequila. We are watching Lucille Foley's Zombie from 1979. What do you think about this movie, Dave?
I think it's a giant leap in elevation from Zombie Lake, for sure.
Oh, my God.
And this is actually considered probably Lucio Fulci's most famous work, not his masterpiece. That actually goes to The Beyond, which we will discuss in another show. But Zombie is definitely one of the greats in terms of zombie cinema and absolutely was a huge hit. It rejuvenated Lucio Fulci's career, which had been lagging at this point. The movie was released in Europe under the name Zombie 2, and that's because when Dawn of the Dead came out, which was successful and was kind of an Italian-American collaboration, that was released in Europe as Zombie, or at least in Italy as Zombie. So this was kind of, they were kind of trying to make it look like it was a sequel to Dawn of the Dead, or as it was called there, Zombie. But there is obviously no relation between Lucio Fulci's and George Romero's series of films. But this one is very interesting. It starts off with a boat that kind of makes its way into New York Harbor and is abandoned, save for one stowaway, which happens to be a member of the undead. And this ends up leading the daughter of the boat owner, who is, of course, missing, and a reporter to head on over to the island of Matul, which is a fictional island. I believe it was actually filmed, what did you say that was?
St. Thomas.
Yeah, so it's out in the Caribbean, and so they go out there to investigate, and that leads them to this island, where they encounter a strange doctor, Dr. David Menard, and his neurotic wife, and basically, and find out that this island is having a problem with people that die and come back to life.
Yes, for months they've been noticing that this doctor's been hearing reports of people's wives coming back to life after they're dead for like 3 days, and they're walking around. Well, these folks are biting each other, and they're getting contagious, and they're starting to become zombies themselves. So this, it follows the path of these folks in this boat all the way to the island. It's pretty interesting when they get to the island. There's an infamous scene underwater in this movie that has to be seen to be believed.
Absolutely. While they're en route to the island, they just one of the characters decides to take a swim, where she encounters a tiger shark. And I'm not talking about a plaster shark or stock footage. I'm talking she's in the water with a tiger shark.
Yeah.
And she's basically kind of huddling the reef, trying to avoid being spotted by the shark, when she gets attacked underwater by a zombie.
Yeah.
And after she takes off, the zombie and the shark actually get into it. And it's...
Yeah.
And I don't know how they did it. I don't know how the film was filmed. I'm sorry, how the scene was filmed, because it's literally just there's no real big cutting. It's like there's a shark and there's a zombie and they're having physical contact.
Yeah.
And it's a real shark.
Yeah.
Who then proceeds to bite the shark. The shark bites the arm off of the zombie, and
it's fighting.
And this is kind of what, if you're not familiar with the work of Lucio Fulci, you really have to check him out, because if you're a horror fan, it's a must.
Oh yeah,
he goes where nobody had gone before.
Yeah, he always pushes the limits of horror and visuals when
Absolutely.
It comes to horror.
Absolutely, and this proved it, because I don't even know how he did this scene. It still boggles my mind.
You've got like an actor biting a shark. It's hysterical.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be a zombie. So these zombies are obviously so possessed that they can attack a man-eating shark and win, or at least deflect it.
Yeah.
So these folks are in for it. You know, by the time they get to this island, the island is infested with folks. The dead are coming back to life. Yada, yada, yada. The doctor is like, oh, my God, he's in a mission. You know, he's working in this old building. His wife is neurotic and freaking out, and they're surrounded by zombies, and the movie takes off from there.
And her death scene, the wife, is another notable scene and death scene in this movie.
Yeah.
She gets impaled. Her eyeball gets impaled into a splinter of a wood that's sticking out after a zombie breaks through this wood door. And it's like slow motion. Slow scene, long death scene, and you see that eye going straight into that shard. And that is exactly what you get with his work. I mean, he will absolutely take his time with his death scenes.
And do it right. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It does have a very grim tone to this film. This is not a light fare at all.
No.
And also, one other thing that you'll see is that he doesn't matter how dead you are. Even if you've been dead a couple hundred years, you can come back to life and be a zombie.
Yeah.
Lucio Fulci zombie film.
Yeah, it's bizarre. You've got zombies on boats, zombies underwater, zombies on the island, zombies everywhere coming out of the graves, and this group of folks are on the island trying to defend themselves. You've got an awesome soundtrack.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up to you. What do you think of the soundtrack?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's great. Oh, yeah, it really helps set the tone. It matches the visuals. Very, very, you know, dark atmosphere throughout. There's almost no humor in this movie. It's truly a straight-up horror movie, right to the kick to the gut. And every zombie is very, I mean, the attention to detail to this movie, every scene is just, like, overpowering in the horror and in the ability of the director to instill in you a sense of dread and hopelessness.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree with it.
We got Lucio Fulci makes an appearance in this movie.
He does, the beginning. He's kind of known to do that. I don't know if that was him, you know, wishing he was Alfred Hitchcock or what, but he did.
Right?
He absolutely did make an appearance in the beginning of this film, kind of in the when they're in New York.
Yeah.
And most of the movie actually does take place on Motul.
Yes.
He does make an appearance. And getting back to the soundtrack, incorporated within there is also jungle drums and voodoo drums. And Fulci did something very interesting with this film, and that was he kind of meshed the two zombie lores together. Prior to Night of the Living Dead, zombies were depicted in cinema, but they were the classic zombie from that originated in Haiti, which was the image of basically just an undead person that was called by a member of the living to basically be their indentured servant and carry out their bidding
for eternity.
And they weren't flesh eaters. And of course that makes sense because Haitians were derived from African slaves, and if you're a slave, the worst hell that you could possibly have is to find out that even in death you're still going to be a slave to someone. So that's where that whole thing came from. And then when Romero's Night of the Living Dead comes out in 1968, then we have the modern zombie that we see today, which is with all the rules intact. They're flesh eaters.
Yeah.
You got to shoot them in the head.
Yeah.
You know, and if they bite you, you're going to become one.
Yeah.
So you become contagious too. And so that kind of thing gets carried. He actually brings them both here where it's like you have the voodoo that created the zombies, and then they're spreading it. They're spreading the love through bite.
Yes.
And the zombies, I mean, let's talk about the look of these zombies.
Oh, yeah. They can be covered in maggots. They look ancient. They look old. I mean, really.
Gruesome.
Well filmed. No quick cuts. You get to see the real thing, like up close and personal. And Lucio Fulci always drags out the death scenes. He wants to show you the horror. You don't get to have anything, you know, there's nothing left to the imagination, and you get to really enjoy a true zombie movie when you watch this film. This is the real deal, people. It's Italian. It's dubbed in English. Very well done, though, I must say. And the music, overall theme, the footage, everything fits in perfectly with the theme of doom and gloom and zombies.
Yes, and again, it was a huge hit for Fulci, and that is why right after this he began his famous Gates of Hell trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
Of films which do feature zombies prominently in that series of films.
Yes.
And we will actually be focusing on those films. We're going to be doing a spotlight on Lucio Fulci.
Yes.
Which will be part of our first of many Italian film fests, because Jason and I love Italian horror.
Yeah, and we love this one for sure.
Yeah, this one is one of the things that definitely ingratiated us to it. So absolutely, if you have not, if you're kind of a younger fan out there and you want to check some old school goodness and definitely stuff that's even shocking by today's standards, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely grab yourself a copy of Zombie from Lucio Fulci.
Yes. And make sure, if you can, grab a little tequila because it's time to get wasted and tasted.
Ending on a much lighter note, we return to the United States for a recent hit, 2009 Zombieland. The film was directed by Ruben Fleischer and features among its cast members Woody Harrelson from the 80s hit TV show Cheers.
And cheers to you, Terror Dave. We've been drinking steadily all night with my special zombie juice, as well as having a Jello Jiggler after every notable death scene. How many jigglers have you had, Tara Dave? How you feeling, man?
I lost count, and I feel like if a zombie took a bite of me right now, they'd become immediately wasted.
Are you up for giving us a synopsis of Zombieland?
Synopsis of schnapps? A synopsis, yes.
I like that.
Yes, I'll give it a shot. Actually, you've already given me enough of those.
Fuck.
Okay, a mutant strain of mad cow disease turns the majority of the population into flesh-eating zombies, leaving the survivors little choice but to seek greener pastures. Hmm. See what I did there?
Mm-hmm. I see what you did there.
While en route to find his parents in Columbus, Ohio, an introverted young man forges an unlikely partnership with a much wilder individual who finds zombie killing downright fun. Eventually, they team up with other members of the living and decide to head out west to California.
And
yippee-hi-yay.
Zombieland.
On terror. On tequila. Okay, the final journey in our zombie apocalypse is actually Zombieland, which came out in 2009 right here in the United States.
Yes.
This is actually probably a good time before we begin to talk about Zombieland to talk about just how popular and how prolific zombies have been since George Romero's Night of the Living Dead. Zombies have basically seeped into pretty much every aspect of our popular culture. We have a popular series, of course, The Walking Dead, which is more popular than ever on AMC. And we also, it seems like every year there is a slew of new zombie movies. And they're actually taking the zombie lore and spreading it out among different types of genres. So Zombieland is an example of something that started, I believe, with Shaun of the Dead, which is where we have the zombie comedy, or as they are commonly referred to as the zomedy. And this is definitely kind of an example about it. I mean, it is a comedy, but it does have good gore, you know, and scenes like that. But the film features basically a zombie apocalypse that has hit due to a strain of mad cow disease. And it deals with a young man, who is, you know, he basically was always kind of an introvert and not very good at relating to other people. And so he survived the whole apocalypse and created his own list of rules to help him survive. Yes. Number one rule is cardio. And the reason why cardio is the number one rule is because these are not the slow-moving, lumbering zombies that you see with George Romero. Another thing that's kind of changed over the years is that we have now fast-moving zombies.
Yeah.
Now, I prefer my zombies slow, old school, but I do have a varied palate and don't mind the fast-moving either. I'm pretty equal opportunity when it comes to my zombies.
Yes.
But tell a little bit else about the plot of this film.
Well, this kid, is he trying to make his way back across the country? He lost his folks, or is he trying to reconnect
with
his
family? He's looking for them, and they live in Columbus, Ohio.
Yes.
And so while he goes to venture out, he encounters Woody Harrelson's character.
Yes.
And basically, we don't know the real names of these two men, because they basically call themselves by their intended destinations or where they're from. So Woody Harrelson's character is simply called Tallahassee. And the young man's character is called Columbus.
Yes. And they meet Little Rock and Wichita.
Exactly. The two shyster girls.
Yeah.
And then when they actually all kind of meet up, they decide to travel together and change direction and head out west. where it's believed that there must be some kind of utopia, or they'll find some kind of safety there, which of course will brings them to the title of the film. But the film itself, there's a lot of humor in it, but at the same time, it's good enough for a horror fan to certainly enjoy as well. I liked it. There were some parts that I thought were maybe a little bit kind of hanging on too silly. Like they brought in Bill Murray, who actually played himself, and he played this little scene.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. They bring him in and go visit his house.
Yeah, the first time I saw it, I was like, what is this? But, you know, it kind of grew on me, and I have watched the film several times, and now it doesn't bother me as much. But, yeah, there's plenty of great. And, you know, this is a good time to bring up that there are lots of different comedies or zomedies out there to check out. I would strongly recommend Shaun of the Dead. Is my favorite of all the zomedies.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I do prefer Shaun of the Dead over this one.
Absolutely.
That one's a British-made movie, I believe.
Yes.
This one's more Americanized, a little more silly.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of gore in both of those movies. This movie's got some great gore. However, you know, you got the lead characters looking for Twinkies. You know, so there's this element of, there's a light feel to this movie, even though they're in the middle of a zombie apocalypse. There's some humor about it. None of them trust each other, all four of the characters. You got the two girls, the two guys, varying ages, going across country. They end up in, like, what, Disneyland out in California or something like that. And that even takes on a whole new
some theme park
tone.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's light. And Shaun of the Dead also has that element. But I got to say, Shaun of the Dead really was a good movie.
Shaun of the Dead is absolutely my favorite of all the zombies. Now, the Latinos have also gotten their own comedy that came out just last year, which was Juan of the Dead.
Yeah.
It is. And I actually watched that with the other Terror Dave, David Alba. This was just back at his place this past fall. And it's subtitled, but it was funny. We actually enjoyed it. I would still say, though, that Shaun of the Dead is number one. But Juan of the Dead is actually has some pretty funny scenes as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's, you know, like I said, zombie movies have gone, you know, pretty much every direction. Last night I saw the movie Warm Bodies, which is a zombie romance.
And, my God. Tell me about that.
Well, let's just say that after the movie was over, I ran to the restroom to make sure that I had not grown a vagina. Because I'm telling you right now, it was obviously totally geared. It was basically a zombie chick flick. And dealt with a teenage heartthrob hottie male zombie that sees a girl and basically falls for her and starts to become human again. And I guess the whole thing is with the zombies are, which I never
he
realized.
He grew a
this.
Heart.
Yes, and through his narrative, because we hear his thoughts, through his narrative, we learn so much about zombies. Like, for instance, the reason why they eat brains is because zombies don't dream. And when they eat your brain, they get to feel your feelings.
While they're
live out your memories.
Oh, yes.
And feel human once again.
I could see that.
And that's where that happens.
Yeah.
And basically.
That's very sweet.
Yes, isn't that? It's sweet. We like that
I
in a zombie
that.
Movie. That's what I go for.
Yeah, I feel much better now.
Yeah, none of this apocalyptic shit. Let's go for love.
Give them some brains. They need it.
Yes, and so actually what's so funny is because we had discussed Lucio Fulci's zombie earlier, and the funny part is actually that Blu-ray makes an appearance in this movie because the zombie basically is a hoarder and hoarding stuff at the airport, and he holds up at one point the Blu-ray of Lucio Fulci's zombie. But sadly, apparently the filmmakers never watched it. But yeah,
right.
You know, but it was really, you know, like I said, I'm not going to, it had like its moments. The bottom line is I was not the intended demographic here. You know, it really wasn't made for me. It was actually made for a teenage girl, and which was clearly evident by the number of teenage girls giggling and yakking throughout the whole damn movie. So, you know, that's definitely, I was not the intended target audience.
Well, zombies appeal is across a broad spectrum. They've been able to do hardcore zombie movies where it's like completely bloody, cannibalistic. All right, I really can't look at this. To where you're laughing, you know, to where you can actually laugh at the zombies as they're getting picked off. You got movies like Zombieland and Shaun of the Dead that can mix the humor in with the blood and guts. You can go see the movie if you're not even a horror fan, and you can enjoy it if you're a comedy fan. They pick some funny, you know, characters and some funny actors or actresses to play these parts. But overall, zombies are just cool to watch. The idea itself is something that we all wonder about. And these days, you hear a lot about zombies.
Yes, you do.
In reality, you have folks eating each other and biting each other's faces off.
Yeah, I remember that whole scare.
You know, you got like some crazy stuff going on out there, people, in real life.
And there's been some good stuff coming out of Europe regarding zombie movies. You had the Wreck films. And another one that I really enjoyed that came from France, who are obviously trying to redeem themselves from
after
that
Zombie
bullshit
Lake.
Movie we showed in the earlier part of this podcast.
Oh my God.
The movie I'm talking about now, though, is called The Horde. It is subtitled. It's actually a great movie. So I would recommend definitely checking that out, too, if you don't mind subtitles. It is available also through Netflix streaming, but I actually got a copy because I liked it that much. But it's a good one. So there's been some good zombie stuff coming out pretty much everywhere. And like I said, Walking Dead is a big hit and enjoyable, although I'm way behind. But, you know, if you do like zombies, you certainly, there doesn't seem to be any end in sight. And actually, while I was seeing Warm Bodies, there was a preview for World War Z, which was another zombie movie that's coming out. And actually, that one looked pretty interesting. So lots of action. Okay, it has Brad Pitt. But you know what? Lots of action. And probably much more appealing to someone like me than Warm Bodies was.
There's a whole world of zombies and zombie movies out there for everybody, isn't there?
Yes, pretty much there's a zombie for everybody. We have chick flick zombie movies, we have hardcore zombie movies, we have Italian zombies, now we have Latino zombies, British zombies, Spanish zombies,
funny
zombies,
smiling
zombies,
warm fuzzy zombies,
fast moving zombies,
walking
zombies,
yes,
and swimming zombies, as shown both in Zombie Lake as well as Lucio Fulci Zombie, swimming shark hunting zombies.
Oh my God!
So yeah, there's plenty of zombies out there, and we've enjoyed these movies a lot. We're probably going to be doing definitely more podcasts on zombies because there's just no end in sight for this genre. And while we're doing it, we will be pumping up on Jason's famous zombie juice. We're not going to have you give away the recipe here, obviously, because you know you're going to be patenting this yourself. But can you just describe like the flavor and the power of the zombie juice?
It will make you rise from your grave if you taste this stuff. And we do love to drink it. We've been drinking it for a long time, and it's a zombie color. It makes you feel like a zombie.
It is like a pale green.
Come back alive.
It's
over
pale green.
And over.
And it tastes, the thing about it is it doesn't really taste like alcohol. It almost tastes like a little bit like orange juice.
It's like Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
I mean, Kool-Aid for zombies and horror freaks.
Yeah, exactly. Just like a zombie that's human, but not really.
It's like a shot to the head.
It is.
Only you
right
come back.
Your eyes.
right between the eyes, people. And we've been enjoying a lot of zombie juice tonight and watching some zombie movies all across the board from the worst to the very best. We check them all out here on Terror on Tequila.
We'd like to thank all our listeners out there who crawled out of their graves to join us for our first zombie show here on Terror on Tequila. This will no doubt be the first of many, as there's a seemingly endless cachet of films dedicated to the walking, running, crawling, or as we've seen in this show, even the swimming dead.
That's right. And if you enjoy seeing the dead rise, we'd like to raise your awareness about some great resource books out there. These are a great way to learn more about the zombie genre while also calling your attention to some of the rarer exploits.
Today we've got three books, each still available for purchase. Zombie Movies, The Ultimate Guide by Glenn Kay, Book of the Dead by Jamie Russell, and Eaten Alive, Italian Cannibal and Zombie Movies by Jay Slater.
And this is Jay Lucas, along with Terror Dave Fuentes, reminding all you horror fans that when it comes to brains, it's better to taste them than waste them.
And thanks for getting wasted with us here on Terror on Tequila.
You've been listening to Terror on Tequila.